have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Thank you, Buckley, for that reading, and thank you for your presence here this morning. We are going to get into our lesson in just a few moments, but let me begin by welcoming those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. And we have several that are with us already this morning, and thank you for your presence here with us today. We hope that you're uplifted and encouraged, and that you will experience what we should hear as all being part of God's family, and being not only in His presence, but in the presence of His people. And we certainly look forward to our time together this morning. A week from today begins our summer internship. And yes, that is the look we expect him to have about the first week, saying, what did I get myself into? This morning's lesson that I'll present at 9 o'clock is to remind ourselves of why we do this and what it involves, what it includes, and what this intern will be going through as he works with us, and what your role is in our summer internship as well. This is our fourth year to do this. And that seems a little unrealistic to me sometimes to think about that. And yet I think probably like me, you get excited when this time comes to see the young man and to meet him and to try to influence his life in a way that will help him in his walk with God and as he serves God. And many of you know we were out of town last week and with Duane's family mourning her aunt's loss, but we were close, about 40 minutes away from Dan Lankford. And so he and I met for lunch one day. And as we sat there and we talked together and ate a sandwich together, he filled me in on the work at Skyview and how they're up to 90 people now and growing closer to outgrowing their rented facility and having to look at the possibilities of building on some land they already own and trying to figure all that out and the classes he's teaching and studying deacons and the eldership and the leadership and hopefully adding to that soon and married life with Caitlin and all of the personal ongoings. And as we talked about all of that, it was good for me because it reminded me at least why I do this. And hopefully those kind of things will remind you why we do this as well. Dan is doing well. Our other interns are as well. Tom Morris continues to work with the church in Springfield, Missouri. And he is studying there and meeting the challenges of the local work there. He's also engaged, believe it or not, to a beautiful young woman named Amelia. And guys, he did definitely outkick his coverage, if you've seen pictures of her. And Justin Mock, the last year's intern, graduated from college just this past weekend with a degree in communications, a bachelor's degree, and is currently in the process of looking for a place to go work. He has a tryout in Alabama planned, I think in the next couple of weeks, for a two-year internship, and hope that goes well and encourage you to pray for that. And even Justin somehow has found a girlfriend. So maybe we're good luck with these guys, at least in one area. And I do mean even Justin has found a girlfriend. Those of you who get that. At least he did last time I talked to him. That could have changed in the last 24 hours. But anyway, and so they're doing well. And you'll meet our new intern coming up pretty soon. A lot of the things we'll talk about this morning are going to seem familiar to you because we talk about them about this time every year. And it seems like just kind of boring and repetitious. Why would you keep saying the same things? I think it's important for us to remember what we're doing here. And what to expect of these young men. And what to expect out of me and out of Brent as we work with these men. Brent with me and accompanied me to the interview process this year. It was a little bit different than what we've done in the past. In the past, we've had that lined up and we've known every person that we're going to interview. And we've almost known which person we want to ask before we even interview them. And this year, we went completely blind. Didn't even know the four young men we were going to interview. We had one of the teachers there set that up for us. And we interviewed four young men, and this man that we'll introduce you to soon just kind of stood out above the rest in both mine and Brent's mind, and certainly look forward to a good summer. First, we need to understand why there's a need for such an internship. I think that's important for us to consider. I don't want it just to become habit. I don't want it to become routine. And it is easy to forget why we do this. I want to read a note to you. Last year, I read you one from Dan. This year, I have one from Tom. He writes, "Before I came to East Shelby, I spent most of my life at smaller congregations between 30 and 70 members. My home church was always one that had dramatic conflict and didn't feel like home. One day, my cousin-in-law from some place I'd never heard of in Tennessee called and said, 'While I'm in town, we'd like to talk about having you as our intern at East Shelby.' I came to Collierville and was impressed by the town. I was impressed by the job. I was impressed by the building, but I was stunned by the church. I came to East Shelby and was warned about their hospitality, but no warning was adequate to describe the heart's love, the brotherhood of the saints, and the family of Christians guided by scriptural leadership. Not every church is like East Shelby. In fact, East Shelby seems like a rare bride of Christ. I got to East Shelby expecting a church like the ones I'd always known. I left knowing that it is possible for a group of Christians to be an army for Jehovah, a vineyard for the seed, and a family. A church really can be a home. To summarize this letter in two words, thank you. The relationships, memories, and meals I experienced at East Shelby did more than just add inches to my waistline. They strengthened my soul. In Him, Tom Morris. That's why we do this, guys. That's why we sit down and we take the time, because it dramatically makes an impact on these young men. And they, in turn, go and they don't forget you, but they go and they try to take what they've learned here, more than just what they've learned in the office, but the family relationship and what a church can be, they take that with them to other places and seek to share that. And so that's great. Let me tell you, there is a biblical example of leadership training in the Bible. In fact, in several places, one of those would be the training that Moses gave to Joshua. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13, it says that Moses rode with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. I find it interesting that Joshua is called his assistant. We might call that a trainee. In Numbers 11 and verse 28, it says, Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. It's interesting here again, his assistant. As Moses prepares to leave, in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, it says, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers and to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. In chapter 34 and verse 9 of Deuteronomy, Joshua the son of Nun was full of spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses trained up Joshua to be a leader. In fact, John Maxwell once said that the greatest success that Moses ever had was Joshua. That there was a successful, well-trained, adequate leadership to follow his own. And Joshua certainly did that. We see a relationship in the New Testament between Paul and Timothy, also Paul and Titus, but Paul and Timothy seems to stand out. That begins in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is introduced to this young man whose father was a Greek, whose mother was a Jew, and he was a believer, he was well spoken of. And in verse 3 it says Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. They all knew his father was a Greek. He takes Timothy under his wings. We see him referred to in 1 verses 1 and 2, he refers to Timothy as my true child in the faith, or my son. And in 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 4, again, he uses that same terminology. My son, or true child in the faith. I find it interesting what Buckley just read for us a moment ago. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what have you heard from me in the presence of witnesses? And trust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul told Timothy that it was his job, now that he had been trained, to train other people. You teach other men just as I have taught you. I take that responsibility pretty seriously because an older preacher took me under his wing and delivered the same commendation to me from this passage. It's our job to teach faithful men how to teach. And so that's the first, by the way, prerequisite we look for in an intern, is a faithful young man, one who's proven himself to be spiritual, to believe in the things of God and to do them. Perhaps the most well-known leadership training was Jesus and the 12. That's what he was doing for those three and a half years, as he was teaching them. He was teaching more than just the multitudes. Oh, I know he was out teaching the multitudes and healing and doing the signs and wonders, but we see so many cases where Jesus, just with the 12, is showing them the importance of what they will do. Passages like where he tells them that what they bind on earth will be bound on heaven. And the things that he tells them in their training about being shepherds and the lost sheep of Israel. Why did he do all of that? Well, because he knew he soon would have to leave. He needed to leave them behind as adequate men who brought about a radical change on the world. It's a biblical pattern then for this type of training. And so it's a great opportunity to share. Let me give you an overview of our internship. Some basic general guidelines, and I know some of you, most of you know this. Some of you are new since last summer, so you'll find some of this interesting. But the first thing is, there is an idea of office hours and dress code. Now, I know some of you are going to be real quick to say, Well, you know, Terry, you're not always in the office at that time, or you certainly don't dress that way, and you're right, I don't. I'm not in an internship. He is. And I will tell you, the thing you need to understand is, while he's here, I am under these same guidelines. One of his requirements is to be at the office at 8 o'clock every morning, Tuesday through Friday. I'm not always here at 8 o'clock. Sometimes I'm here at 6 o'clock, by the way, and sometimes I'm here at 9 o'clock. But it will be his job and mine to be here every morning at 8 o'clock. We'll have those normal routines. He will also have to wear a tie when he's in the office. Now, if you've been here during the weekdays, you know I don't do that. But I will this summer. And he has to wear a tie except on Friday, and he's allowed to wear a golf shirt and dress pants or khakis. Now, some of you might go, well, what's the big deal about that? I tell you, all this has to do with is discipline. It has to do with setting up requirements and guidelines and restrictions to teach the young man discipline. Getting up every day, going to work, being prepared for work, which would include thinking about how you're dressed and what time you go. One of the misconceptions about the work of a preacher, we've all heard this before, and I joke around about it, but one of the misconceptions is that we only work 4 hours a week. And the rest of the time, we just kind of hang out in our shorts and t-shirt playing video games or golfing or talking to our friends, but just 4 hours a week. And let me debunk that myth for you real quick. FedEx does not deliver the sermons at 10 o'clock on Friday, so we don't have to work. There's a lot of research and work and preparation that goes into all of that. And so just like you have to go into work and do your job and get up and get dressed, and you probably have a dress code as well, we do the same thing here. And the intention is to get him to cause to be in such a habit of thinking how he conducts himself in the work of a preacher outside of the pulpit, that when he goes to another place, he has that predominant thought in his mind, that there is a routine and there is an expected standard of how you deal with yourself. He's also expected to build relationships with each of you. He's expected to know your names. He's been given that assignment already, given the password to the website, and hopefully he's been looking through your pictures. But it's difficult to fully do that until you're in person. Be patient with him for a while. But we want you to make sure that you get to know him and he gets to know you. And in a few moments, we'll talk about how you can make sure that happens. Well, there are scheduled assignments throughout the week. In fact, we have a pretty routine weekly schedule. Part of the reasons for that is I have a pretty routine weekly schedule. There are things I do certain days of the week. When I go in, and sometimes my wife will ask me on Thursday, what are you doing today? Same thing I do every Thursday. On Thursday is a day I work on my sermons and make sure the bulletin's done. And a lot of the schedule you'll see reflects the things I have to do. So I'm giving him kind of my pattern as well. But every Tuesday morning we will meet and he'll have a sermon evaluation. These are written evaluations that I share with him that Brent and myself do. And we break down everything from staying with his outline, the context used, making sure he doesn't look anxious, how he's dressed, his eye contact, his PowerPoint, how it all flows together, making sure the conclusion makes sense. All of that is evaluated by us. And sometimes it's not that fun. Because in an internship like this, we really do no good if Brent and I always just say, hey, you're doing great, you don't need to change a thing. I mean, our idea is wherever he's at, we want to take him to another level. And so that's part of what we look at on Tuesday mornings. Another part of the evaluation process we started last year, which was very successful, is that there are five of you every week who will evaluate his sermon anonymously through a form that we give you about overall if you got the purpose of the message. What amazed me last summer about that, by the way, is how good you listeners you are and how well you know good preaching. Because you would say the same things. Even though it would be five separate, one of you, at least three of you would say the same thing to it. And so we would sit there and talk about the implications of that. We don't ask for your name. In fact, if you're asked to do that, and don't come ask me. We choose five at random. If you're asked to do that, though, let me make sure you understand, we just want your gender and your age, and we try to give a variety of that to let him see how he's hitting the broad spectrum of the audience. But it's amazing the applications we can make from that. But please do not put your names on those forms. Just hand them back to me at the conclusion of the assembly. We also on Tuesday morning study through the books of Timothy and Titus. And so we try to look at these books written to young preachers to help them understand the work. On Wednesday mornings, we discuss the book that he will read. The young man's name is Greg Klein, by the way, and Greg will read one book a week that will cover a variety of topics, from finances to leadership to how to preach to communication to the effects of postmodernism on the church, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And we will discuss every week those books. We have already got those books in. Over the course of about 13 weeks, Greg is scheduled to read over 3,200 pages in 13 weeks. For those of you trying to figure that out, that's about 250 pages a week he has to read. The smallest book is 52 pages. The largest book is 560. And yes, he will have to read the 560-page book in a week. I know that seems to be tough, but that's the point. It's hard work. And so we will discuss that every Wednesday morning. We will make his assignment for the article he'll write every week that will go in the bulletin. That will be turned in by Wednesday afternoon to be reviewed. He will also have a sermon assignment. What that means is he'll have a general topic given to him he must preach on. Now, sometimes he'll be given a recording he has to listen to and outline that sermon to use that as his basis. And the purpose of that is to show him how to outline. The other times he will just be given a topic or maybe a passage, and the assignment is for him to come up with a sermon. He is required, by the way, to write his sermon out in complete word-for-word outline form. And so his outline will range anywhere from usually 10 to 13 pages that he turns in to me. So we do that, we begin that process on Wednesday. Thursday morning, there's an article review. And by that, when I say review, you need to think that it's graded, because it comes back with red ink on it, with a lot of circles and a lot of problems. And they must go back and reassess that article and fix it. I will tell you that it's interesting that all of our interns have had more problems with their articles than their sermons. But if you can teach somebody how to write good articles, they can preach good sermons. And so that's an important foundation to this. We'll discuss their sermon preparation, and their rough draft of that outline is due by Thursday afternoon. They also have a preacher interview. Every week he will interview a preacher. Could be on the phone, could be in person. And he will ask about 15 to 20 questions about the work of a preacher. And we'll discuss that on Thursday mornings. Then on Friday morning, you'll have a sermon review. And what that means is I give him back the outline covered in red ink. And he finds out all the things he needs to change. And that's a difficult process sometimes. He'll take that outline, he'll make intended and needed changes, and he'll give that back to me sometime again to check over that. With almost every case, we've had a couple of cases where I was out of town and somebody changed up what they preached. But in most cases, every sermon that is preached by the intern has to be approved by me. That is a charge that the elders have given me. And we do that to make sure that there's not something going on or said from our pulpit that's not scriptural. And so everything is approved by me. He'll also work on PowerPoint on Friday mornings. We'll discuss that, what it should look like, the color combinations, the graphics. I don't know if you've noticed. Hopefully you have. We have new projectors. They are much more efficient. You can use a lot more colors than we used to could use. In fact, they're so bright. I don't know if you've noticed. There's a little line that goes down on each outside corner. And I kept looking at that thing. What's wrong with the new projectors? Until I realized they were bright enough to pick up the fishing line of the microphones hanging down, which has never been seen before. And so that's great. We can do a lot more, but we'll take a great care that you should, unlike my first scripture reading slide, you should be able to read everything. I did that intentionally to tell you what bad PowerPoint looks like, but we'll make sure that's done. And let's not forget Sunday, because Sunday is what you spend your whole week getting ready for. Sunday's a work day for a preacher. He'll be teaching classes. He'll be teaching the junior high class with the next quarter starting. I'm not sure he knows that yet, but he will be. And he'll be preaching once every Sunday. Now, on Monday and Saturday, Greg is technically off. But I will tell you, it's not unusual for the interns to have to use their days off finishing the reading for the week to make sure they have that done. It was interesting that one of the things that stood out to us about Greg is when Brent and I interviewed him, he asked me, he said, "Well, I understand that you're off on Monday, but does that mean I have to be off on Monday?" And I said, "Well, no, you can go work all you want. I'm not going to be there. But you go ahead and do that." And so we'll see how that happens. Throughout all this process, Greg will be journaling about his experience here. I'll be randomly checking that journal to see how we're doing and what we need to change, because this is kind of a living, breathing type internship. I will tell you that Greg kind of issued a challenge to me. Now, you've looked at all that we said, and you see all the work, and it's a lot of work. And Greg kind of said to me in the interview, and I don't think this was arrogant, I just think he really believes this sincerely, that we would have no problems with him working, that he could handle anything we gave him. I took that as a challenge. And I told him that in the interview. Are you challenging me? No, I can just do anything you ask me to do. Okay. There'll be an additional assignment for Greg. We're going to see if he can really meet the challenge. He doesn't know this yet, but he's going to write a research paper this summer too. Four of his readings in a four-week block are going to be specifically detailed to the idea of postmodernist thought and the effects that it has on the church and change in the church, and he's going to have to write a 12 to 15 page research paper at the end of that 4 weeks, in addition to everything else, giving me what he's learned about that. Now, part of that is just to see if he can do it. But part of that is, that's a very important assignment when we take into what the climate of the church is today, and so many changes and adaptations. And one of the great concerns about that is the way men are trying to change what God has laid out. And so we're specifically targeting that to help him in that process to see what he needs to do to be able to kind of understand that in his future work. And that might, by the way, become a significant part of future internships. We're going to test Greg to see how that goes. Well, here's Greg Klein. There's one picture of him. And as you can see, he's already ready for his office attire. He is a 20-year-old student from Florida College. He's originally from Orlando, Florida. His older sister is Kaylee. His parents are Ralph and Vicky, and I believe they may be with him next weekend when he is here. He has some experience preaching. He already has a summer internship in Hanceville, Alabama, working with Leon Malden. And last summer, he worked in Beaumont, Texas, at the Dowland Road Church with David Banning and Max Dawson. David Banning highly recommended Greg to us, and he and I have been talking quite a bit. He's also this year been preaching part-time at the North Boulevard Church of Christ in Tampa until at least the new year. He is on the forensics team at Florida College. What that means is that is their speech and debate team. As a debater this year, Greg won first place at the state, and he placed third nationally in debate. So he has a lot of experience in speaking, and so he's very good at that. I just asked Greg to share with me why he wants to preach, and I wanted to share that with you today. And this kind of gives you some insight to him as a young man. He said, I want to preach because I can't see myself doing anything else. After much prayer and a tremendous amount of overthinking things, which I'm prone to do 100% of the time, it became clear to me that this is what path God wanted me to take. Furthermore, I would not know what to say at judgment if God asked me why I didn't use the talents he gave me if they were for that purpose. Preaching is the perfect combination of fitting general Christian needs, my skill set, and my personal goals and ambitions for life. To make a living from doing the will of God and preaching, it would be remarkable. So that's his outlook. So we look forward to him. He's supposed to arrive either Thursday or Friday this week, get moved in and settled. He will be preaching at this time period a week from today. So that will be his first initial lesson. That is the one lesson, by the way, I don't check. That's kind of their litmus test. I don't help them out at all. I don't even read over it. So if it completely bombs next Sunday, just realize that's why. We didn't help him out at all, and we'll fix all that. So he will begin speaking next Sunday morning. What's your role in all of this? And this is an important, you play an important, crucial part to what we do in the summers. And I hope you understand that. I hope that you really grasp that. And the first thing that you really need to do for us is to offer positive encouragement to him. Offer positive encouragement, statements of real encouragement. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I guess I could give you a list of things not to say or things to say, but I generally think that most of us understand what is encouraging and what is not. Be specific, though. Be positive and specific. It reminds me sometimes we talk about encouragement of the guy who once said to a preacher, I appreciate your effort. What does that mean? Because appreciate your effort is really kind of an ambiguous. It could mean that you tried really hard and fell really short. Or it could mean that you did a really good job. When I learned how to umpire, I was told that there are two ways to say everything. And you've probably heard this before, but let me use this example. That our head umpire told us we could go up to a girl, and he pulled a girl out of the audience, and he said to her, when I look at you, your face, when I look at you in your face, your time stands still. And we all swooned, you know, that's great. And then he looked at her and he said, your face is so ugly it could break a $3 cloth. He said the same thing in two completely different ways. I use that example to tell you, when we talk about specific positive encouragement, make sure what you're saying is encouraging before you say it. Make sure it's worded in the right way to lift him up. Tell him he did a good job, or I can see growth in you, or that helped me out because. Just make sure you offer positive encouragement. On the other side, we do not want you offering any criticism to him. Now that may seem unfair to you, but it is difficult enough for Brent and I to handle 45 people telling us what was wrong with our PowerPoint this morning. For a young guy, it's a little bit harder. And we want to protect him a little bit. And so here's how we want to handle those kind of things. We'd like for you to come to me and to tell me what criticism you have of his lesson or things that you think could have been done differently. And we hope you'll appreciate that. The elders have asked me to oversee this process. This isn't me, by the way, asking you not to criticize. This is the desire and intent of the eldership, is not to criticize this young man, but instead to allow me to filter that criticism to him. And what is needed will be handed down. What is considered to be somewhat trivial at the stage that he is in, truthfully, will just be discarded. And then if that continues to be a problem, then we'll handle that. This is not to say that your concerns aren't important. This is simply to make sure that the growth process happens at the rate it should. The second thing you can do is show hospitality. Some scriptural things here. Romans 12:13. Seek to show hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is an opportunity for you to show hospitality. Greg will be staying at the Hearts for the summer. That's become somewhat the unofficial dormitory of the internship. They have a great setup on the second floor. He has the whole floor to himself. And he spends, by the way, most of the time studying and reading in that room. He does not spend a lot of time just hanging out. But we also want you to make sure that it is Greg's responsibility for feeding himself, not the Hearts. And as a part of that process, what we often try to do to offset that is we encourage you to show hospitality to Greg. That's a really easy thing, and here's why. Greg is a single college student. They will eat anything. And they don't care if you just folded your laundry and it's sitting in the kitchen floor as long as you have fed them. They don't care what the house looks like. They're not going around to do a dust test. They just want to eat. They don't see if you lined up all your books the right way on the bookshelf. He just wants to eat. And I tell you, these young guys will come in and they'll just sit down and eat and spend time with you. And it's a great thing. And one of the greatest memories I have of my own summer internship is going into the members' homes and eating with them. A dear member there had me into their home every Thursday night. She made the best fried chicken in the world. No offense to anybody else, but it is the best. And she had her whole family over every Thursday night. He was an elder there, and it was interesting that her grandson used to get fried chicken and we'd get some other stuff. But by the end of the summer, I got fried chicken even if her husband had to eat roast. And that was just because I was adopted. And to this day, we're very close to them. Those relationships were formed sitting there at a table just eating a meal together. Sign-up sheet for this is not up yet, but there'll be a calendar on the back bulletin board for this where you can sign your name in. Our goal is to have at least two families a week that have him into their home. And for him to come and to eat with you, I'd love to see more than that. And at times, we've had 4 and 5 nights a week. So we'd like to ask you to do that. It's a great opportunity for you, and it's a great opportunity for him. The other thing we'd like you to do is to build him up to other Christians. I think about some of the statements in the New Testament, like 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11, where Paul wrote, "It's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers." And then compare that to Ephesians 1, verse 15 and 16, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." In 1 Corinthians, you have, "I've heard a negative report about you. You're fighting all the time." In Ephesians, it's, "Look how great you are." When you think about those two kinds of contrasting reports, who would you, How would you rather have your reports be about Greg? We would prefer them to be reflections of positive nature and being merciful rather than being judgmental and critical. These young men come in here for 3 months and we leave an impression on them and they leave an impression on us. Please make sure that in your conversations with each other that you build him up to each other and that you build other Christians up. Let me just be real frank and honest about this. What we don't want you doing is when you have them in your home, telling them everything you don't like about everybody else. That really encourages young preachers to do the work. To hear how bad the elders are and how the preachers don't ever do the things the way you want them to do and how you have all these things and nobody will ever listen to you. Don't share that with him. That does absolutely no good. And so please refrain from that. And the fourth thing is you will be asked, as we talked about earlier, some reason we're not working here. Put the last point up there for me, Justin. The evaluation process, the sermon evaluation process. This was our first time to do this last year was our first time. And you did great, and we look forward to that again this year. This plays a really integral role because it allows me to see whether you're getting what he is giving you and whether you're getting what I think you ought to be getting out of the sermons. And I've always been impressed by that. Let me just close by saying this. As we approach every internship, I think it's important that we kind of have tempered expectations. That we just be realistic about what it is we're doing. This is a 20-year-old young man. He has some experience, but he doesn't have the experience that I have or Brent has. And to judge him based on those standards would be completely unfair. And so we certainly beg you to be patient. He wants to grow. That's why he's coming to work with us. We say this every year, that the majority of the work and the majority of the change and the majority of the training and discipline will actually be something that happens at his desk rather than a pulpit. But we hope to see improvements in his preaching as well. So certainly are thankful. I am personally thankful and grateful to the elders for this process and just the ability to work with the young man. And I talked about all the things I'll be doing with him. Let me add to that in closing, Brent will be working with him specifically on evangelism and already has some things lined up for him to go on some evenings to have some studies and to test him in those areas. That's something that Greg specifically asked us to do. And so we've been working on that as well. We have a good summer ahead of us, a lot of work ahead of us, but certainly one that's very rewarding. And so we certainly are grateful for that and encourage each other in our role together. We're going to have a prayer, if you will, about our internship, and then we'll be dismissed. Pray with me. Great God, you truly are amazing and wonderful, and we're so grateful for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for this good church, for the brethren at East Shelby, for their love for each other, for the power they are in your kingdom here locally in this community. Father, we are so thankful for our elders, our leadership, the shepherds here who have guided us, who have given such a great vision for what this church should be. And part of that, Father, is certainly this internship. We're so thankful for the opportunity to have an influence on Greg this summer and for him to influence us. We pray that it will be profitable, that you'll grant us all wisdom as we approach this time together and give us patience, and that it'll be a profitable summer, and that glory will be done for you and for your kingdom and for this church and for every church that Greg goes and works with in the future. We're so thankful for his desire to do your work. We pray that you be with him as he travels and his family, and that they'll have safe travels to us, and we look forward to our time together. Father, thank you for this day, the day that we gather together to encourage one another to worship you and to remember your son and his death. Be with us, and may everything we do be in accordance with your will and pleasing to you. May we learn as we go to our studies in Ezekiel to learn from them and not to be rebellious people with hardened hearts, but to certainly approach you with the proper attitude and mindset. Be with us in our studies now. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.